22 through 36. Somewhat familiar passage of Scripture possibly to many of you, but what we want to do this morning is examine it in light of this title, and that is Jesus Christ, the source of our faith. Jesus Christ, the source of our faith. And I'm going to go ahead and read these verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer and go back through them together. It says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we know there are a lot of things to be praying about, and we certainly have seen that in our prayer list, and Brother Lewis has led us through that. I've been able to add some to it. And Father, we do pray for these needs. We think of those who have health issues that are either having them tended to or have had them tended to and are now recovering. We think of those that have suffered loss of loved ones or in a position where they may lose loved ones soon. And we think, Father, of other needs that are listed out. And we're so grateful to be able to pray for these things. And thank you for a praying church. We do ask you, Father, please, to help us not to be distracted by those things at this hour, that we be able to set them aside under your care and your trust, and that we be able to give you full attention for these minutes that we have in your word, that we might be able to glean from it that which you want us to glean that will prepare us for the week as well as the months and the years ahead. Lord, your word is good. It is faithful. It is true. It endureth forever. And we thank you for giving it to us to study this morning. Bless it now by your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ, the source of our faith. I want to take a moment to define the word source and then give you an illustration that I hope will help you understand our passage of Scripture this morning. The word source itself means this: someone or something that provides what is wanted or needed. Someone or something that provides what is wanted or needed. And we recognize as we come to this passage of Scripture this morning that we're taking a look at a passage that teaches us that Jesus Christ is the source of our faith. If we can just summarize briefly, it would be, as long as we keep our eyes on Him, we're safe. And when we take our eyes off of Him and put it on the winds boisterous, we find ourselves sinking in life's storms. And that's what I want to deal with in the way of an illustration this morning, and two different attitudes that we can look at when we face a storm. A number of years ago, Philip and I went to visit a lady called Mrs. McLaughlin. She was a widow lady, and she lived on a farm, always an interesting place to visit. But she was also the librarian at the Marysville Library, Marysville, Ohio. And she was a very well-read lady, and very intelligent lady, and very interesting lady. And although she was well up in years, we enjoyed going to visit her. Philip at that time was about 6 or 7 years old. So I said, Philip, you want to go along? We're going to go see Miss McLaughlin. He said, sure, Dad. And we jumped in the car and off we went and had a great time visiting her out the farm that day. When we left the farm, we were on our way back home, and in the process, my little yellow Fiat, now that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? Little yellow Fiat. It was actually a four-door yellow Fiat. The closest thing you can get to is a sports car when you got seven children. A little four-door yellow Fiat. It conked out on us on the way home. There was a big storm that hit, and I mean the rain really came down. And these Fiats, if you're familiar with them, especially back then, they weren't really built for inclement weather. They were fair weather cars. Well, we were on our way back from the farm, and sure enough, in the midst of the storm, the car conks out. I guide it over to the side of the road, park it, and then realize we've got to get somewhere to get to a phone. Believe it or not, young people, there were no cell phones back then and no other ways to communicate except the hard line in someone's house. And so we didn't have an umbrella, we didn't have any rain gear, we didn't have any jackets or anything, but we had to go get some help. And so Philip and I get out and we start walking down the road, and I'm holding his hand and I'm thinking, this is one of the most miserable days of my life. I mean, the rain is driving down. It's a cold, chilling rain. We've got quite a distance we have to walk. Once we get to the house, I'm going to call Pam, but I'm not sure what we're going to do at that point. I don't know how we're going to get the car taken care of or fixed. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm just kind of fuming as I'm walking through this terrible storm with my son holding my hand. And while we're doing this, Philip looks up at me and he says, "Dad, what an adventure. This is great." And I just looked down at him, and I mean, he would remember this to this day. I looked down at him, and I thought, he is looking at this with childlike, what, faith. I'm looking at this with fearful reality, okay? And I thought to myself, isn't that interesting? So many times when we face storms, we don't see them as a, what, adventure, but we see them as the worst day in our life. Now, with that introduction, that's what we're looking at here in the passage of Scripture that we just read. In these verses, starting at chapter 14, verse 22, and going down through verse specifically 31, but also covers verses down to verse 36, we see some men who were very well trained at handling boats on water. These are the disciples whom Jesus has that are following him that will eventually be called as apostles. And they're in their training period of time, walking side by side with Jesus, learning the lessons that he wants to teach them that will prepare them to be the foundation for the New Testament church. And many of these men were fishermen. Many of these men were used to going through inclement weather. They were used to being on a boat when a storm would raise up. And yet we find them in a position here in Matthew chapter 14, in a position where they are evidencing, according to what Jesus says himself, little faith. Look at verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretcheth forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And what we're finding in our passage of Scripture is the disciples may have been asking the question, "Lord, why me?" When actually the truth of the matter is the Lord was saying, "I'm giving you this storm because I want you to learn something about faith that is going to carry you through the future storms that you're going to face when I'm no longer what? When I'm no longer with you." You see, faith is very important. Even for us today, it is very important. For example, you remember in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, "But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh us to God must believe that he is." Faith is very important and needed to please God. Also, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God." It is important for us to have faith. And God oftentimes puts us through storms of life in order to help us understand and grow in our faith. Remember, Jesus Christ is the source of that faith. Someone or something that provides what is wanted or needed. And he wants us to understand he's that source of faith. And putting us through storms helps us to see that. Now, when we go to our passage of Scripture specifically this morning, we're going to actually look at two things. We're going to look at number one, the disciples and the boat. And then number two, we're going to look at the Apostle Peter specifically. And when we take a look at the disciples in the boat, I want to give us two lessons that we can carry home about these disciples. The first one is this. When you look at this passage of Scripture and you observe verse 22, these disciples in the boat and the storm that they are in the midst of, you need to remember this. Just because something is hard doesn't mean it's not of the Lord. Just because something is hard, it doesn't mean that it's not of the Lord. How do we see that? Well, take a look, if you would, first of all, at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, and while he sent the multitudes away. Now, I believe that these men, being fishermen, knew how to read the skies. I believe they knew how to read the, even though they didn't have anything to measure the barometric pressure, even though they didn't have one of those things that hangs on your wall that says storm pending or storm coming, I have a feeling they knew what the weather conditions were like, and they knew it was probably ripe for a storm. And the last thing you want to do is be on a boat in the middle of a lake and be churned up by a major storm. But you'll notice that Jesus, in verse 22, straightway constrains his disciples to get on the ship. By the way, even though there was not a barometer there, and even though there was not a weather service there, Jesus himself knew what was ahead. He knew exactly what was going to happen to these men once they got on that water and started rowing to the other side. And yet, even knowing that, it says he what? Constrained them to get into the ship. There was a purpose or a reason that he wanted them in the midst of this severe, what? Storm. You have to remember this, because you'll notice number two, he saw their problem. When you take a look, for example, at Mark chapter 6, and it's too valuable of a passage not to take a little look at, in Mark chapter 6, which parallels this account, it says so clearly in verse 48, it says these words, Mark chapter 6 and verse 48, says this. It says, and he saw, now notice what it says, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. He, what? Saw them. Jesus knew that the situation he was putting them in and constraining them to go into was going to be a very difficult and was going to be a very hard situation for them to endure. But he specifically forced them into it, and it was absolutely and positively God's will that they be in the midst of that. Now think about that with me for a moment, if you would. When you go through a difficult time in your life, or you go through a storm in your life, a spiritual storm, do you ask yourself this question? Why is this happening to me? What have I done wrong to bring me to this place? God, don't you care for me? God, don't you want to see me live? God, why are you doing this to me? But you'll notice clearly in our passage of Scripture, and with the very first lesson we learned from the disciples in the boat, that just because something is hard, and it was hard, doesn't mean it's not of the Lord. The Lord actually constrained them to get in the boat, and Mark tells us that he saw them toiling away and rowing, and yet it was what he had planned for them to help develop them so they would learn that he is the source of their what? Faith. The Lord may give us hard things to do. I imagine right now, if we went around the auditorium and did a survey this morning, some of you were facing some hard things. And some of you may already be asking the questions that I just alluded to. You may have even asked this week, Lord, why did you do this to me? Why are you letting this happen to me? Why am I having to face this? Why isn't life easier? And what happens? You didn't get an answer, did you? But yes, you are getting an answer this morning. God puts us through these storms and puts us through these difficult times because he wants us to learn that he is the source of our strength and he can help us through any and every situation. Notice that we need to do something that I think personally the disciples kind of let the ball down on here. I think they learned it later, but at this stage they didn't really seem to have a handle on it yet. Probably because they didn't really realize Jesus was the real source of their strength yet. We'll see that more in a minute. But you'll notice there's something lacking in verses 22 and following when we have the condition of the disciples in the boat. It tells us that Jesus constrained them in verse 22 to get into the boat. It tells us that, and when he sent the multitudes away, he, that is Jesus, went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, notice that word, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for what? Fear. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor, you read those words. What's missing there? I believe what's missing there is prayer. If you were out toiling in a storm and the winds were boisterous and you were making very little progress, wouldn't it be wise to pray and ask God for his what? Help and ask God for his what? Intervention. I don't see any reference here in regard to them praying about this issue. But I believe that we've learned through experience of them as the scriptures unfold and experience of others that when we find ourselves in a situation that is hard, it doesn't mean that it's not of the Lord, and we can pray and ask God to help us and give us the strength to what? To get through it. Oftentimes that doesn't ease the situation, but it sure makes it easier to bear that situation, doesn't it? I'm thinking of Mike, for example, who is facing open heart surgery here on Thursday. And it was 4 years ago that I faced my open heart surgery, and some of you have faced it. And I'll tell you something, there are words that you don't want to hear. When I went into the heart cath lab that day, I thought for sure I was going to get a stent and I was going to go home and feel so much better. And I thought, well, this procedure didn't take very long. The heart cath didn't take very long at all. And the doctor comes over beside the operating table that I was on, and he gets down and leans down, looks me right in the face, takes off his mask, and he says, Mr. Macedo, I am so sorry. We could not get through. He said, you're going to have open heart surgery. You talk about something hard. It was hard. Now, wait a minute. How do you plan to do this? You plan to split me open like an egg? You plan to stop my heart and put me on some pump? And then you're going to actually graft things together? I have a hard enough time fixing water leaks, which you heard about this past weekend, let alone getting veins and everything to close together. That was very hard to hear. It was definitely a what? Storm. But I was so thankful that what I've learned through Scripture, what I've learned through years of walking as a Christian, what I've learned by observing other people's lives is this is hard. I don't want to go through it. I don't want to see my wife go through it. But Jesus Christ is my source of strength. And I can pray and trust him. And remember what the source means? Someone or something that provides what is wanted or needed. So we learn, number one, the disciples in the boat, just because something is hard doesn't mean it's not of the Lord. And we go through hard situations too. And we can trust the Lord and pray for him to help us through them. But there's a second lesson from the disciples in the boat. And I see this standing out to us. Just because something is hard doesn't mean we ought to turn back. Just because something is hard doesn't mean we ought to turn back. You'll notice that in a couple of the verses that we've already read, but let me allude to them again, if I may, going to Matthew chapter 14. And you'll notice in verse 24, it says this, but the ship was now in the midst or middle of the sea. They'd only gone about halfway over. I'm not real good at biblical geography and measuring things out and whatever, but I think it was about 6 miles that they'd actually rowed so far to get over to the other side. And they were tossed with waves. I can't imagine what they were feeling, even though many of them were experiencing this. And the wind was contrary. So in other words, what that means to me, as I've studied this passage of Scripture, is they were rowing, as we would say today, into the wind. Now, you know that's very hard to row into the wind. In fact, if you were in an airplane, you would find that a trip that might take 2 hours going into the wind only takes an hour and a half going with a tailwind. And so they're in this situation where they are toiling and working and laboring to get across this body of water, and they're only about halfway, although they've been rowing for literally hours. And I wonder myself if anyone on that ship made the suggestion, let's just turn this thing around, let's get a nice tailwind getting us back to shore, and we'll try it again tomorrow. It doesn't imply that here. what I see in this part of the scripture is very positive on the disciples' part, and that is Jesus constrained them to get in, Jesus constrained them to go across, and they were determined to get across one way or another. They didn't give up, and they didn't turn back. You'll notice it says they rode with the wind against them, and they had to be tired. It says it was around 3 a.m. that started the watch. It was about 3 a.m. is what we can see. So they went about 3 miles, and by the way, they went about 3 miles in a period of about 6 hours, and yet they were still continuing to row that ship to get to the other side, because that's what Jesus asked them to do. They didn't turn around. It's interesting when we think about this and we think about the Christian life. When we face something hard or we face a storm in life, even as a Christian, oftentimes we just want to turn around, or oftentimes we just want to go back. In fact, if you take your Bibles and make a note with me in John chapter 6, I'm just going to highlight this passage. But if you go over to John chapter 6, there's an interesting statement that's made when the disciples had an option to turn around in their Christian faith. In John chapter 6, there's a conversation taking place, and I'm going to summarize it as we go down to verse 67. Jesus taught some hard things. Some of the people walked back and went away, walked with him no more because of the hard things he taught. And he turns to his disciples in verse 67 and said, Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will you turn back like those of verse 66? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, I'm not sure he would have made that statement prior to the experience that he faced in the storms. I'm not sure he would have made that statement without having to come to the end of his physical ability and looking to Jesus to be the source of his faith and keep him going. Well, you know what the application is here, clearly, as we turn back to Matthew chapter 14. Many of us find things very hard in our life and tend to want to turn back. But remember, if you turn back, you're going to miss the blessing that God has for you. Let me illustrate that, please. These men were exhausted. They had been going for 6 hours. They had only gone about 3 miles. The storm was not letting up. If anything, it was intensifying. The winds were boisterous. The waves were high. They were fighting, as it would seem, a losing battle. If they would have turned back, they would have missed seeing Jesus walk on the water. If they would have turned back, they would have missed seeing Peter walk on the water. If they would have turned back, they would have missed the blessing that God had in store for them, and they would have not realized that he was their source of faith. If I were to scan the room this morning, and I certainly don't know many of you that well by any means, and you don't know me that well either, but I imagine as I preach that point, all of us can think of a time where we turned back in our life from doing something God wanted us to do, and we missed the blessing. And we got hard. Our faith wasn't strong enough. But we didn't draw our strength from him to go forward. And as a result, we turned back and later found out that if we'd have just kept going a little bit longer, we'd have seen Jesus provide in a miraculous way. So when we take a look at the disciples in the boat, two things stand out to us. Are they standing out to you this morning? Just because something is hard doesn't mean it's not of the Lord. And number two, just because something is hard doesn't mean we ought to turn around and go back. God has put us in this storm, and he has a lesson that he wants to teach us. Now let's look specifically at Peter this morning. The Apostle Peter on the water. We've seen the disciples in the boat. Now let's take a look at the Apostle Peter on the water. And the first thing we want to note here is this. Just because something looks easy doesn't mean it is. Just because something looks easy doesn't mean it is. Do you notice that in chapter 14, verse 28? And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. That looks like a pretty easy task, doesn't it? Now, in Peter's favor, we can note that he asked the Lord before he just jumped in. That was wise, wasn't it? He didn't just jump out of the boat thinking he could walk on the water. He actually asked permission of God. In verse 28, that brings it out very clearly. He wasn't being presumptuous and he wasn't being hasty, but he asked the Lord for permission to do so. And the Lord granted that permission. And when the Lord granted that permission, I want you to note something else that I found very interesting. And that is that he went ahead and obeyed immediately. And he said, verse 29 of Matthew 14, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, sometimes something seems like a good idea and I might ask permission to do it. And when I actually get ready to do it, I kind of hesitate. I can remember in airborne training, I can still remember the training towers at Fort Benning. And it was so exciting. I'm going to be airborne. I'm going to jump from airplanes. And we went through all the training and stuff. And the first time you stand in that door and you look out and think, what am I doing? And it even gets worse on the plane. They actually jam you up on the plane and the loadmaster standing there literally with his hands on the back of the first guy. And I'm telling you, when they say jump, guys don't usually very willingly jump. It's kind of like whoosh. And then he just starts pushing them and pushing them and pushing them out before you know what's going on. Sometimes things look like a really good idea. And when you actually go to do it, you hesitate. In Peter's behalf, he asked permission to walk on the water. In Peter's behalf, he got the answer that said yes. And on his behalf, he immediately then got out of the boat and started walking on that water. But I want you to note something. Notice with me the second part of verse 29 and verse 30, Peter's surprise. It says in the second part of verse 29, it says, "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" That looked easier to do when he was on the boat than it looked like to do when he was actually on the water. It looked a lot easier observing Jesus doing it than it looked when he was actually on the water doing it. And again, the Lord is teaching him a lesson. I want us to be reminded, if we may, that Peter is the man that stood up on the day of Pentecost, most definitely in a position of possible death, and spoke on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and presented a detailed gospel message and made it very clear that men might be born, need to be born again. It's amazing, isn't it? I want to remind you from our Wednesday study that it was Peter who was actually in prison with two chains, the two soldiers, to face certain death under Herod, and yet the angel released him. So Peter had to learn a lesson about Jesus Christ being his source of faith. And when he asked that permission to walk on the water, I believe Jesus knew this is a great opportunity to teach him that he must keep his eyes fixed on me, for I'm the source of his faith. Because the winds boisterous will make us sink. The waves toss us around will make us sink. We can't do it on our what? Own. But we can do it when we call upon our source, that someone who provides what is wanted or needed to help us through. So Peter's in this position and he calls out and he's surprised because things look different outside of the boat than inside the boat. And then Peter knew who to call upon for help. And I'm so grateful to see that in the second part of verse 30. He knew to call upon for help. He said, cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Interesting, you say, well, isn't that a given? No, it's not really a given, because remember, Peter could have easily called to the men in the boat and said, "Row over here and get me." He could have easily said, "Throw me a life preserver or a life jacket or a rope." He could have easily looked back to the 11 on the ship and asked for their help, but he knew that would be insufficient. So instead he calls out and says, "Lord, save me." And the Lord saved him. You'll notice it says in verse 31, the Lord didn't say, look at verse 31. It says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand." Isn't that wonderful? I don't know that I would have been so gracious. I think I might have had the tendency to say, "Peter, you want to walk on water like me, huh? Okay. All right, come on out." Okay, Peter comes out. "Hey, this is cool. I'm Peter. I can do this. Whoa, look at the waves. Whoa, look at the waves." I'm starting to think, "Lord, save me." "Now, why, Peter, should I save you?" Didn't you just say you could do this on your own, didn't you? You think you can do this, right? And Peter, Lord, save me. Well, Peter, I wonder if you've learned your lesson yet. I'm learning it, Lord. I'm learning it quickly. And then finally pull him out. It's not how the Lord deals with us. When we ask him for help, his help is what? What's our verse say? Immediately. Lord, save me. And what does it say? Immediately. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou what? Doubt. And that, so when take a look at this passage of scripture, just because something looks easy doesn't mean it is. And if we venture out on something that looks easy, but we forget that the source of our strength is Jesus Christ, we'll probably fail. Kenny mentioned in Sunday school class this morning about fear. I didn't share this then, but I will share it now. And it may sound a little silly, but I'm telling you the truth. When he talks about, do you have a fear of something? And he talked about having the fear of walking in the dark hollow in West Virginia at night, thinking all the lions and tigers are going to eat him up, which would have been very interesting. You would have made the news. Lions and tigers in West Virginia would have been a good one. But he said that, and someone else talked about a fear of this and a fear of that. And I thought, you know what one of my greatest fears is? This may sound silly, but think it through with me. And that is this. I have the fear of not being able to preach and teach the Word of God in a way that communicates it to his people. I have a fear of that. Because I realize that preaching and teaching is a gift. And if God gives a gift, God has every right to take that gift away. You say, well, I think you're exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. Pam knows this. Not many other people do. But I have a nightmare that reoccurs from time to time. It used to reoccur a lot more when I was younger. And the nightmare was that I was standing behind a pulpit, trying to tie my tie, with my Bible in front of me, flipping rapidly through the pages going, I don't know what to say. And people were out there just like you are right now waiting for me to say something. And I was helpless. I haven't had that dream for a long time now. But the Lord would give me that dream periodically to remind me, Pastor Macedo, it's not your source of faith. It's not your strength that causes you to deliver the Word of God. It's my source of strength. And it's me giving you that faith to cause you to do that. I mean, I would wake up in sweats. I'd wake up panicking. I would tell Pam, I don't have anything to preach. I don't know what to preach. And she could help me tie my tie, but she couldn't help me preach. I mean, but anyway, but I just didn't know what to do. I mean, that's something. You say, well, how does that fit in? Well, look at how it fits in. It fits in so well with what we're looking at, because when we forget, folks, that Jesus Christ is our source of faith, and when we rely only on our faith, then we only have a portion called what in our verse this morning? Verse 31, O thou of what? Little faith. But not only do we learn from the Apostle Peter on the water, just because something looks easy doesn't mean it is, but we also learn this morning this, and don't miss it, please. Just because something causes us to sink doesn't mean we have to go all the way under. Just because something causes us to sink doesn't mean we have to go all the way under. I already mentioned to you at the end of verse 30 when he cries out saying, Lord, save me. And verse 31 is exactly what he does. For we take a look, Peter admitted at that point his weakness and cried out for help. He admitted at that point that he did not have the faith to walk on that water in his own strength. He admitted that, and he did not call out to the disciples in the boat, as we mentioned earlier, but he called out to Christ, the one that's the source of his faith, and Christ did not hesitate for a moment, for it says that immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. The storm was over, because Peter and the disciples had now learned the lesson that Jesus desired to teach. When they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, that statement on its own in our passage this morning doesn't really give us a clear picture of what's taking place here. We have to add something to it. Take your Bibles and go back with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. This is not the first time that the disciples have been in a storm with Jesus. Did some of you already think that through? In Matthew chapter 8, there's another storm, and it's in chapter 8, verses 23 and down through verse 27. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23 and going down through verse 27. And here's what we read. And let's note some differences here. Ready? "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful?" Here's our expression again. "O ye of little faith." Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of," what's the next word here? "Man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him." Now you can see the differences right off, can't you? They're in a ship. They're in the middle of a storm. Those are the similarities. Jesus, however, is on the ship with them. In our passage we're looking at this morning, he's up in the mountain praying. And as he's on the ship, he's sleeping on that ship. And again, the disciples realize what danger they are actually in. And again, they're in a position where they are looking to themselves to solve the problem, "O ye of little faith," and not really seeing what God is able to do. So God comes into the scene, and he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there's a great calm, and they come up with a conclusion. And the conclusion is, "What manner of man is this?" But turn back to our passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 14 and look at the conclusion they learn the second time they go through a storm, when Jesus is not in the ship, but watching them from the mountain, praying for them, walking out to meet them, teaching a lesson to Peter as well as the other disciples. Now what do they say in verse 31? Now what do they say in verse 33? "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." The first time it was, "What manner of man is this?" But now the second time is, "Thou art the Son of God." Without that storm and the experience of that storm, would they have ever learned that? Was there another way the Lord may have taught that? I don't have the answer to that, but I do have the answer to this. God used the storm to spiritually mature these men and further prepare them for the storms of life that waited for them down the road. Just because something causes us to sink doesn't mean that we need to go all the way under. We can call out for the Lord to save us, and immediately he will. See if you agree or disagree with this statement as we close this morning. The sinking of one's spirit is due to the weakness of one's faith. True or false? The sinking of one's spirit is due to the weakness of one's faith. We need to recognize that Jesus, through the storms of life, has us go through them not, "Why is this happening to me? What am I going to do to get out of this?" But as my son said, "Dad, this is an adventure." The storms of life should be an adventure for us, moving us to the next stage of spiritual maturity in his plan. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture that we're very familiar with, but passage of Scripture that we've been able to enjoy looking through together. And I just pray, Father, that thou will give us the strength to exercise the faith that we need as we go through these storms of life to learn the lessons that you desire for us to learn. Thank you, Father, that Peter and these other men were men and women just like us. And thank you, Father, that the things you taught them are things you seek to teach us. And the things you did for them are things you're willing to do for us. Help us, Father, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.